Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another For the Good podcast. Second to last one until Michelle and I take a much-needed month-long break. She'll let you guys know we will be leaving for a month.
Yeah.
And you know what? Y'all are going to be okay with that because season three is going to be hot and heavy, people.
Yeah.
When I mean hot and heavy, I mean spicy and heavy.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Here we go.
Just came up with it on the spot.
Yeah, we will be getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Going on a honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And...
You want to tell them, honey?
And just settling into living together.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be very new.
Yeah.
For both of us.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Getting ready for season three.
Yeah.
And one more thing. Little teaser, honey.
Another one.
Yeah.
We made a TikTok video about it, but there's talk between us about what?
I just think it's funny how it's like there's talk. No, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So.
There's not talk. It's already been finalized. Actually,
there's been talk since we started dating, literally, about this. But yeah, I will be joining Asher and coaching women. So if you're listening to this or watching this and you are a woman in 20s or 30s or even early 40s and you need help with getting in shape, and whether it's like just nutrition or weightlifting, or if you're just new to it and you just need someone to hold your hand, that's what I would do for you. So comment down below if you'd be interested in it. And if this is a clip on a social channel, leave it in the comments as well. So that I can figure out, you know, I'm not going to be doing that many at first because I'm still going to have my full-time job. So it's just going to be like a trial and there won't be that many spots. So if you're interested, definitely comment.
Yeah. So. It'll be April and May when Michelle and I talk really heavy about, you know, what her position's going to be and how to actually like onboard people and stuff like that. Because when it comes to coaching someone, as long as you've done it for a period of time, it's pretty easy to coach other people.
Yeah.
Because it's all science based.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there are other programs, but fundamentally it's the same for everyone. However, the personalization really comes with like, what's your job? You know, are you lifting heavy stuff at your job? Do you sit at a desk? That's when like the personalization comes in. But yeah, so we're going to be working alongside April and May, and then hope to be up and running by like June or July when she's going to come alongside me. If y'all don't follow us on socials, TikTok, Instagram, all that good stuff, make sure to do so. Because also, a little bit of a teaser, Michelle and I have been talking about giving away free spots as well. So doing like month trials every single month. And that's only going to be announced on the podcast. So what we're going to do is we're going to say something like, hey, Michelle and I posted this reel. And then we're going to pop it up on the screen. And we're going to say, comment pepperoni.
Yeah. You know, some emoji or something.
Yeah. And then we're going to pick from the people who commented that stuff to give them a free month of our coaching. And we would prefer it to be someone who is actually like interested in getting in shape. If you're already in shape or you don't need a coach, you know, don't steal that spot from someone who actually needs it. But that's something that we're also talking about doing in the future. Last thing, yes, the merch is coming. That's going to be Michelle's thing. So she's going to be dropping For the Good merch and High Honey merch. And then on my side of things, I am going to be, most likely dropping a Revival t-shirt as well, but that's all going to be coming in the summer and in the fall. Those are all the updates. That's all going to be happening in season three, which is really, that's why I wanted to say all that stuff.
Yeah.
Really exciting stuff.
Yeah.
All right, now that we got all the announcements out of the way. Also, we got to say thank you to everyone for new listeners, old listeners, donations, all that good stuff.
All the support that we've gotten.
Whether this is y'all just watching for 5 minutes, y'all watching the whole thing, y'all liking it, y'all commenting, y'all donating to our Venmo, whatever it may be, we thank you guys for everything. If y'all want to donate to us, it's down below. Y'all can check out our Venmo link down there. We don't have anything else, it's just Venmo. And yeah, we just would love it if you guys shared this with people. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe. Every Wednesday episodes. All right. Now all the household items are done. Okay, honey. Yep, let's do this thing.
Are we jumping right in?
Oh, yeah, jumping right in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you should already know by the name of the video, but we're going to talk about Christian dating. And this is like something that we get asked a lot. We get a lot of like dating advice.
Yeah.
Whether like scenario.
Yeah.
Wise, yes. Like,
hey, this is my scenario. Writes 19 paragraphs. I want your advice. I'm going to be honest, guys.
Yeah.
Michelle and I are very busy people.
It's not necessarily that. It's, I'm going to tell you what God's already telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that you're asking me what to do about a situation, I think you already know the answer to it. And you just want someone outside of God and close people to you to tell you the same thing.
Exactly.
So it's not necessarily like, in my case, it's not necessarily like I'm too busy to answer you. It's just like, I think you have your answer.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But we do get a lot of questions about like dating, and people comment and say like, I want a relationship, you know, and like, this is goals, and not saying that we're perfect, because we're absolutely not.
Oh, but man, we're a mess.
We have learned so much, especially me prior to meeting you, from the woman's perspective. Like, there's been so many lessons that the Lord has taught me from reading books, watching sermons, or just like being alone with him and allowing him to prepare me for this. And again, not perfect. Still, we're going into marriage so a mess.
Yeah.
We still have so many things to figure out, but we do have some advice on like dating.
Yeah. And I just want to say real quick, the messages that we receive, we're not saying like, don't DM us. We're not saying this to condemn you or whatever it may be. However, if it's a scenario like, hey, I found this guy we really like. We really like each other. However, he's pulling me away from God. I'm trying to get him to go to church. Blah, 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 blah. We have really good chemistry. What do you think I should do? Like, this is what you want me to say.
Yeah.
You want me to say, oh, tough it out. You know, you'll be okay. However, you know your answer.
Yeah, exactly.
The answer is you can't force someone to come to Jesus.
Exactly.
Honey, I'm so glad I just said that. So we had a church sermon today that was so good.
Yeah.
And the dude came out so hot.
Yeah.
Because we were...
You said, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. First sentence, I was like, uh-oh. Everyone was silent.
Yeah.
So we were talking about, is Jesus reliable? Should we follow him? And if I'm a nerd, like Michelle knows more than anyone, I literally watch apologetic videos. So like, literally, if I'm not doing something, like I'm either watching an apologetic video on TikTok or on YouTube. Like, that's majority of the stuff I watch. I'm just a nerd. I like defending my faith. I like, if someone challenges me with something, like, I like to challenge them back with questions, not hammer them down, condemn them, but I really like apologetics. This guy comes out on stage. He says, what's up, guys? I'm one of John's best friends, and today I want to talk about, is Jesus reliable? And we were like, yeah. And he was like, because I think what we have been taught is Jesus will get us into heaven and not be a teacher. And I was like, uh-oh. Because that's how we were taught. Follow Jesus because you'll get into heaven.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the heaven is, we don't deserve heaven.
Yeah.
None of us deserve heaven.
Yeah.
So when you're putting it on the, I'm following, or I believe in Jesus just to get to heaven, you're missing the whole point.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Michelle in the car on the way home, and I said, honey, when he said that, you know what I thought of? I said, what if Jesus never promises heaven? Would people follow him? Is he that reliable? And your response was, no, I don't think anyone would.
Yeah.
And it's true. People follow Jesus because of the heaven. And for one, yes, Jesus wants to know that we're going to heaven and spending eternity with him.
Yeah.
But two, that's not why we should be following him.
Yeah.
And that was what we tackled in the service, is why is Jesus reliable to follow him?
Yeah.
And it was, if y'all want to go watch Hope Fellowship's last message, that's the church we go to, go watch it. It was just apologetics on apologetics, and it was just a lot of fun for me.
This series has been apologetics. Yeah. Like the last service was historical account.
Is he credible?
Was he a real person?
Historical evidence. Yeah. Is he credible?
And then this one was Liar or Lord.
Yeah.
Which I think came from More Than a Carpenter, because there's a chapter in that book called Liar, Lord, or Lunatic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will say, like, oh, he's just a really good prophet, like, of other religions. And it's like, no, like, that's not an answer.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
if you don't believe he's Lord, then you think that he's lying or he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
There's no in between. Mm-mm. He's either Lord or he's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Because of the historical evidence of what he did on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a really good series. And I honestly, I have not heard a church service on like apologetics.
It's
and, like,
so fun.
It's amazing. It's glad that they're doing it. And I think it's very timely for Easter.
Yeah.
Because we're about to celebrate, like, you know, what actually happened.
Yeah.
And it's like they're setting up for like people who want to accept Jesus. That way when Easter comes, like they've done an altar call at the end of every service during this series. And our church usually doesn't do that.
Our altar call is really cool because it's very personal.
Yeah.
You know, I do like churches that say who wants to give their life to Jesus today, but I also really enjoy how Hope Fellowship is like, maybe God did speak to your heart today. These articles, I want you to read so you're sure.
It's like, they make it way more, is that what you meant? Like personal for the person. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of times, and that was me growing up, like I would go to Ichthus and church camp and they would do the altar call and like everyone was doing it. And so I was like, I want to do it too, you know?
Yeah.
And when I came to Jesus, there was no altar call. I was literally in my bedroom by myself with the Lord on the ground crying. Mm-hmm. Like there was no, like I didn't need to be in a church. So that's why like, at first, it was weird because my old church, Rivers Crossing, does an altar call at the end of every service. And so coming to Hope Fellowship, it was a little strange for me and like an adjustment.
Same for Hope City.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, this is something that they like usually do every Sunday. Yeah. But I do, like, I see it from that way of like, they're like, hey, we're just here to teach you. You know, like we care about you and we want you to have a personal relationship with the Lord. So like, you know, if you want to accept him, there's communion up here and go online and read more about who Jesus actually is.
You know what just popped into my head, honey? Yeah. And this may shock a lot of people. And I just want to say it. So in church, when we have altar calls, it feels like a lot of people give their life to Jesus based on the emotion they felt instead of actually who he is. And that's one thing that Hope Fellowship does so much. They're like, you may have felt an emotion. Mm-hmm. I want you to read these articles to make sure you know who you're giving yourself to.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what he was talking about today, honey, is if you actually believe what he claimed, you're not going to be like, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. You're going to be like, oh no, he's that guy.
He is Lord of my life. Like that's what needs to happen, right? It's not like this song. Like there's people that don't believe in Jesus that can go to church and you can hear a worship song and you can cry.
Oh,
and absolutely. You can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's how powerful it is.
But that doesn't mean that you need to like accept Jesus because of that's how you're feeling.
No, honey, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Because those emotions, here's the thing. The 13 months I was going to church, I felt those emotions every single service.
Yep.
Had no idea what Jesus claimed.
Yeah.
If I would have given my life to Jesus based on those emotions, I would have been following a false Jesus until I would have actually done research.
Yeah.
And that would have ruined my discipleship of me spreading the gospel.
Yep.
Because I would have spread a false gospel.
Yep.
And
you would have been relying on the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been relying on that one time I felt that emotion.
Yep.
Or the feel good services, you know?
There was a lot of times because I gave my life to Jesus 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to church after I graduated high school until I actually did it. And there would be times I was the same way. I would feel it. But Rivers Crossing did altar calls, but I usually just was like, I kind of shook it off because I was like, he's already in my heart, you yeah. know? But like other church services wouldn't do it, but I would still, like, I would break down crying. And I'm like, wow, like, he's so, that's why I told everyone for the longest time I was following the Lord, because I could feel him.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it's like feeling him and him living inside you with his spirit is totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Totally different.
But yeah, that was a side tangent.
Yeah. We always pray to God that, you know, have Michelle and I just take it wherever you want it. Like, we have a topic yeah. in mind, but sometimes we get on these, someone needed to hear that.
It's that's really, all I'm going to say. Yeah. And that's why, like, if you listen to the episode with Paul, my hometown pastor in Rivers Crossing, that was a great episode. But that's why I value his teaching so much, because that was his life as well. Mm-hmm. Was he grew up in a Christian home, and even in the Bible, I was reading Romans again the other morning, and he's talking about, like, you don't, like, just because you grow up in a Jewish home doesn't mean you're Jewish, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like he talks about how important it is to have your own faith.
Yeah.
And really ask yourself, like, did I fully accept the Lord, or have mm-hmm. I been, like, fake following him?
Yeah.
And that's my story.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's majority of people's story.
And it's like, that's when people need to, like, sit down and really analyze, like, what's going on in yeah. your life and whether you actually have him. Like, it's a serious thing and it needs to be brought up more yeah, often.
It does. And that's to go on the point about Easter and Christmas, is everyone's brought to church.
Yeah.
Everyone knows about the resurrection. It's the most historical event to ever. His birth and resurrection are the two most historical events to ever happen in the history of creation ever.
Mm-hmm.
Besides God making the earth, probably. Yeah. But no one was there for that. Mm-hmm. But besides that, the birth and resurrection of Jesus are the two most historical events to ever happen. Mm-hmm. Of course, people go to church for that.
Yeah.
Because it's so historical.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. Why are we doing this, though?
Yeah.
Because the people that are brought to church, they don't have any evidence, because they haven't looked at the evidence yet to be like, that's why people call him Lord. Mm-hmm. Because of all of this evidence and what he claimed to be.
Yep. Yep.
And we need that. We don't have that enough.
Yeah.
If we were taught, I'll say this right here. If we were taught that in school about how significant Jesus, I'm talking Christian schools too.
Mm-hmm.
If we were taught how significant Jesus is, and how much of, like, the Lord he actually claims to be,
mm-hmm.
this American Western Christianity would be elevated times a trillion.
Mm-hmm.
There would be disciples on every corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of people are following a very, very watered down Jesus, and they have not looked at historical evidence. Mm-hmm. If you look at historical evidence, you will be surprised at what you can find.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
more evidence of Jesus
than Alexander the Great.
Than Alexander the Great. And not
so
even,
many other.
And not even
people.
On that point, honey, any historical figure yeah. that was in BC or like to 1000 AD, Jesus blows all of them out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to not even think that Jesus was alive, I'm sorry, there's really something wrong with your head.
Yeah.
But go ahead, honey.
Yeah. I just wanted to make this point because he also talked about this morning, and he said, if you ask someone, do you believe in Jesus? Mm-hmm. And they say, I mean, yeah, like, I believe, like, he existed, you know, yeah. If they're like, if they kind of answer like that, they don't know him.
They don't know him at all.
And no. It's crazy because there'll be people, like, you can ask someone, like, are you a Christian? And they're like, yeah, I go to church on Easter and Sunday uh-huh. or Easter, Sunday and Christmas, you know? And it's like, okay, so you're treating that as, you know, one of these other holidays that everyone celebrates, yeah. right? So today, Asher asked me, like, today's St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, like, why do we even celebrate it? And in my head, I'm like, well, technically, it's just for, like, that heritage, you know? And, you know, in America, it just gives people an excuse to drink green beer, yeah. right? But they're all celebrating it. They don't know why. It's an excuse for them to dress up in green and go drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
Easter and Christmas, a lot of times, is a holiday for people to get dressed up and take their family to church and basically show them, I'm doing the right things.
Oh, honey, it's you shouldn't have said
that. It's another excuse for them to just show up and say, yeah, I'm celebrating this because 90% of the world does, but I don't actually believe in it, or he's not in my life.
Man, Christmas and Easter aren't trendy.
No, they're not. It's like literally people treat it like St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo. It's like that's not even a holiday you should be celebrating because of your heritage, because you're not Irish. But yet you're still celebrating it because everyone else is. That's what a lot of times people will see Christmas and Easter as.
Oh.
And it's so sad. Sorry.
My eyes are watering so much because I just have so much joy in me. Oh my goodness. Whew, this is what happens. Like, I'm talking regular conversations. This is what Michelle and I talk about.
And you know what's crazy?
Oh, my goodness. Mine's going a mile an hour.
This morning we talked about, like, should we talk about, like, a learning topic? And we were like, you know what? No, because a lot of times, like, us just sitting down talking is, like, just way better because all of this stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my goodness, honey. Yeah,
you're over there crying.
No, I'm not crying. I'm not crying. My eyes are just so watery because I'm like, oh, my goodness. She just dropped the mic on some people.
Yeah, and I'm saying all of this out of love. I'm not saying it to be condemning. I'm just saying it like I want to see you in heaven. And if you just see Christmas and Easter as another holiday that you just show up to church for, I don't know if you truly have Jesus in your heart. And I don't want you to face that on Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I want you to have, even 1 John tells us that we should have full confidence that we are saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like yeah. I don't want anyone to question that.
Yeah, or the people that get dragged to Christmas and Easter mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, I dread this because I have to go here. But that used to be, Michelle used to like going to church. I didn't. However.
Well, I liked going to church when I started going to non-denominational church. Yeah. I didn't really like Methodist church. I went for the friends.
Same. I didn't like it at all. My girlfriend went there and I still did not like, I didn't even like going to church with her. Another topic.
You didn't even like her.
Yeah. Didn't even like her that much.
okay, good.
Okay, so. Here's the thing though, is we're dragged to this thing because we're not told anything. Imagine you being dragged to, let's say, a physical. You go to your physical once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're dragged here. This doctor feels on you, and you're sitting there like, why? Why am I doing that? This is so weird.
Yeah.
And you sit there, and you're like, why? Your mom and dad haven't explained anything to you. You're like, why is this happening? Why am I getting touched now? Like, I don't know what they do at girl appointments. Guy appointments, they feel your balls and, you know, you have to cough and what. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Just to get a physical?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. They just push on our stomach.
Oh, no. They push on your stomach and they also feel your balls.
Here we
and,
go.
Yeah. Big
okay.
day.
Okay.
Anyways, if you went in there, had no idea what was going on, you would think this is, I don't want to do this ever again.
Yeah.
And then you come back out and then you ask your mom, hey, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then she explains, this is what a physical is for.
Yeah.
Imagine in the same way, if your kid or someone like that gets dragged to church, they don't like it. You come or they come out, they're like, why do we do that? And you tell them, it's because Jesus is just that great. That's not a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sit down and explain to them the historical evidence of who Jesus is, what he claimed to be, and how significant this holiday is.
And if you're going to church on those two holidays, they're not going to know that.
Yeah, they're not. And the resurrection, because Easter is coming up, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not something to take lightly.
Mm-mm.
It's happened once
mm-hmm.
and will only happen once.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to not be another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you that.
Mm-hmm.
God won't let that happen.
Yeah.
And so once you understand the significance of it, that's mm-hmm. when you'll be able to sit down and explain to them. And then their eyes are probably going to be opened up with curiosity because of how, like, we do more research about the Titanic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the solar system that is actually, that's another topic. But we do more research on that and we're more curious about that.
Yeah.
We're more curious about aliens. Aliens are fake, people.
Mm-hmm.
We do more research about that than the most historical thing to ever happen, which is the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't we put our mind towards that instead of all these other fake stuff like the solar system and astronauts? And, sorry. All right, we'll be talking about it.
It's all another side topic.
That's another topic. But now y'all know where my head's at. So,
well,
cat's out of the bag.
Not ashamed.
Astronauts are actors.
Yeah, so that's our little side tangent about the importance of understanding your faith and...
So we came into this episode saying we're going to talk about Christian dating, but here we go. Understanding your faith. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in a lukewarm state or you're in a state where you're like, actually, yeah, I am kind of following Jesus just because I want to get into heaven. Do research, homie.
Yeah.
Read the gospels, but don't read the gospels just to read them. Read them with the commentary and in context with everything. I promise you, when you do that, you're going to be like, oh, wow, this guy was... crazy cool.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead, honey.
All right, yeah. So, back on topic. So, we're going to talk about just Christian dating and how to approach it, because I think a lot of times people will give their life to Jesus and then say, okay, I'm ready to get married. At least that's usually what happens, because God will instill that into you, that desire to get married. And so, you'll want to start dating people. And I think a lot of times people will try to date like how the world tells us to date. And we're just going to give some advice on what we've experienced and how we approach our relationship, and just hopefully lay like a foundation that you guys can use to help you in that dating scene, because, you know, everyone's idolizing relationships now, and I'm sure people feel left out and they want to date someone. And but we're going to talk about Christian dating, because it's a little different.
Two things I'm going to say right off the bat is, one, I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're 45 watching this. You're not late. That's one thing I want to say. You're not late.
Yeah.
Two, what I want to say is, and this is a very, very big tip, when you give your life to Jesus and you start dating other Christians or try and date other Christians, don't take advice from people who are still living in the world and do secular dating. Right when they give you advice, you can say, okay, thanks, don't apply it. I guarantee you it's going to be wrong, and it's going to be so unbiblical, it's scary.
Yeah.
The amount of people who told Michelle and I, we need to wait, we need to move in together, we need to do X, Y, Z.
Trial run.
We are so thankful we tuned all of that out. And we would come to each other when people would tell us these things.
Yeah.
And we would say, I think so-and-so is telling me this, I'm not going to listen.
Yeah.
And thank God we did. Now, if we would have taken some people's advice, like, for example, you needed to wait an extra 3 months before you get married, was that going to ruin our relationship? No. Mm-mm. However, why would I want to take that advice when I know she's already the wife that or the woman that I want to marry?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not saying it's going to ruin your relationship, but what I am saying is their advice is not going to be biblical, and it's probably going to be pretty sucky.
Yeah.
And also, one more thing I want to say is, majority of the times the advice people give without you asking usually comes up because of insecurities or past traumas they've had.
Yep.
And that's something that Michelle and I talked to our counselor about, is he'll tell us, the first meeting we had with him, he said, the best advice I can give you guys is, people are going to give you advice that's not actually advice. It's really just past insecurities and past trauma.
They're deflecting everything onto you that they're dealing with.
And we were like, we've already gotten a lot of that. He was like, well, it's never gonna stop. So that's kind of how I want to start this thing.
I would also say, if you're entering the dating scene, ask yourself why. Because a lot of times people just don't want to be alone, and that's not a healthy way to date. You shouldn't be dating, or even like going, like, you can go on dates like nonchalantly, but like, don't pursue anyone unless you're ready to get married. So if you're 15 years old and you're in high school and you're like, I just really want a boyfriend, are you going to marry him next year? If you are, great. Like, that's your own life. But I guarantee, if you're that old, that's not what's on your mind. And if I would have married the person that I dated in high school, I would be divorced right now.
Yeah.
I was nowhere near ready to get married.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's about age, because back in the day, like, they got married really young. My grandparents married young, short time span, and they were married forever until my grandpa passed away. Like, it's definitely possible.
So that's such a great point, honey, about when you should start dating. First point I'm going to make, if you are not living out God's assignment for your life, you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. When you start living your assignment out that God gave you, your partner's anointing
mm-hmm.
on their life is going to completely match your assignment.
Yeah.
And that, in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 18:21, when it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. That is what you're finding.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding the other part
mm-hmm.
of your assignment
mm-hmm.
because her anointing or his anointing is going to match your assignment.
And they will be an asset, not a liability.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're going to add to yeah. what you're already doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that should clear up. The reason why I want to say that is because that should clear up a lot of questioning. Is this person it? No.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, no, they're not it.
Yeah.
That is not your husband or wife.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop asking.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this to condemn you. I know it's very hard.
Yeah.
But if you have to ask, is that? No.
Yeah.
Immediately no.
Yeah.
God makes it very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob waited 7 years because it was that obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. People can wait. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have very good friends that have been together for, they just celebrated their 7 year anniversary.
7 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Nuts. They started dating in high school. And they both went through college. They both graduated. They both have jobs. And now they're getting married.
And one more thing. They've been dating 7 years and they've kept each other pure.
Yeah.
So
they have made God a priority in their yeah. relationship. And that's what's... They were long distance in school. Mm-hmm. And they've gone through so much together. And it only made their relationship stronger. So it's possible that you meet someone and you're young and you're like, you know what? This is it. It's so obvious. We have the same goals, or they complement each other, because Asher and I are in a little bit of a different situation. The Lord literally spoke to us and told us what we were going to do in our future. So when we met and it was the same thing, we were like, okay, obviously.
Yeah.
But you could be someone like my best friend. She just met her boyfriend and she's in child protective services. And so she works for the county, and then he's going back to school in the Air Force to like pursue Air Force and like mm-hmm. get based other places out and how it works. But anyways, so their things don't like complement each other, but like they, how do I want to say this? They, it doesn't necessarily mean that like you have to work together with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that like they're supportive of each other's goals,
yeah.
right? So he's going back to school and it's going to take him a couple years. And when they met, it was so obvious in her heart and what God was telling her that it was this man that she's going to marry
mm-hmm.
that she was like, I am so okay with waiting until you're done with school and I'm going to support what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So like that could be another example,
yeah.
you know, like, but the asset and the liability part, like I really want to hammer down on, because mm-hmm. if you are a girl and you are babysitting your boyfriend, or you're a guy and you're babysitting your girlfriend, and they're making your life harder because you're trying to change them.
Yeah.
That is not it.
Yeah.
That is not how it's supposed to be. If you have a headache from the behavior of your significant other and you're messaging one of us or talking to your friends or your family, and you're like, I just don't understand if he just didn't do this, or if she just didn't do this, and like, I just can't get this under control. Like, you're not ready to be married.
Yeah.
Because that's not your job.
Yeah.
There's things that Asher and I both want to change about each other, not in like a bad way, just like little habits. And it's like, that's not our job. One. Yeah. Two, it's not that big of a deal to the point where I'm going to sit here and change my behavior towards you because of something that bothers me.
Yeah.
Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Okay. Yeah. I'm really glad you said that about like if your partner is giving you a headache because you're wanting to change them, there's one thing about like let's say you want to go back to school mm-hmm. and then like I'm solo providing, mm-hmm. is it's like, is that a little bit harder on me? I mean, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm serving you in that way.
Right.
So that's
and I'm
different.
Not taking advantage yeah. of you by doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yes.
On the flip side, if you sit at home, do nothing, mm-hmm. house is a mess, kitchen's always, I'm having to do everything. Mm-hmm. It's not, we're not, you're not serving me at all.
I'm spending all the money.
You're, yeah. Like that's, yeah. that's a headache.
Yeah.
And that's completely different. Mm-hmm. I'm just really glad you said that. And then one thing I wanted to hone in on, honey, is about the whole timeline.
Mm-hmm.
This is because this is what happens. You give your life to Jesus. I want to get married
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
It's not up to you.
Yeah.
Because we like to say, yeah, I just, God put it on my heart that I need to get married. God mm-hmm. gave me a vision. Okay. He may have done that. I can guarantee you he didn't give you a date.
Yeah.
And I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because if.
We already talked about this, but yeah.
We did, but God's not going to give you a timeline because yeah. if he did, you would mess it up.
You're also going to idolize when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy. Before yeah. I met Michelle, yeah. Well, was I living life? Yeah. Am I still living life? I'm even living life more. But when you get to the point of you meeting your partner, and it's happened since we've been engaged, honey, you know how many people around us have gotten together and they're like, I'm so glad I waited.
Mm-hmm.
Your best friend, for example, mm-hmm. one of my clients,
mm-hmm.
two of my clients, actually,
mm-hmm.
because they were single
mm-hmm.
when we started dating, engaged, stuff like that. They've come to us. They've maybe dated a couple people. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm so glad I waited.
Yeah.
Because they may not be engaged, but they know.
Yeah.
One of my buddies is engaged. But yeah, it's you can't be on your own timeline. If you're on your own timeline, you're just going to completely mess it up. And I don't even want to say along the lines of God's preparing you.
But he is.
But he is.
There's a lot of things lining up.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's not necessarily like he's preparing you on your character. He's preparing your finance. No, that may not be the case. He may just be wanting you to wait.
It may also not have anything to do with you.
Exactly. And I was just about to say that.
In our example, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I gave my life to Jesus, I was ready to get married.
Uh-huh.
And I had some refining to do, which I did for the next year. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I'm getting impatient. Let's go. What are we doing here? And then that year, after I gave my life to Jesus, I think I told you this. I was praying before I went to bed, and the Lord told me that I was going to move one day. And I was like, I got the reason. Okay, let me explain this.
The Lord said, you're going to move.
No.
Period.
No.
Oh.
It wasn't verbal.
Oh, yeah.
I
meant like he didn't say you're going to do this in 2024.
Exactly. And
yeah, he didn't say that.
There was no explanation, but yeah. I was praying and all of a sudden moving popped into my head. And I just started crying because I had so much peace. I can't even explain to you the feeling that I got in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I had so much peace. And the next day I was like, oh, I got to tell my mom because I'm so close with my mom and my family. And I was like, I'm going to move away. What's going on? So I told her, I said, what would you do if I moved one day? She would be like, well, I would be sad, but I would trust you and I would trust that God is leading you in that direction for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So it spilled into this conversation and I was like, when am I supposed to move? Like I started looking at places. I was looking at Dallas and the Lord was like, there was empty thoughts about where to move and when to move. I did not get a single thought. It was just blank.
Yep.
And I was like, what the heck? Like, why did he tell me that?
Mm-hmm.
So 6 months later, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to start looking at like the South.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, all of those things. And I was like, when my lease is up in October, I'm going to move. And it just felt right. Thinking about it, saying it, everything. And you and I meet and we start talking at the beginning of June. We start dating at the beginning of July. And you gave your life to Jesus that March.
Yeah.
If I would have moved or mm-hmm. tried to date someone, I would have missed you.
Yeah.
You know,
you got the word, like, you got the word from the Lord about you moving, and I wasn't saved yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Literally, I wasn't saved.
Yeah. And in that, I also got word on like what I would be doing. I started this podcast. I knew that I wasn't going to be doing it alone. Like, there were so many things that I was lining up, and the Lord was like, wait, 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 like, just wait. I got distracted by men that were not leading me in the right direction. And I was like, what's going on? Like, I'm getting impatient because I had all the answers. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have you. You yep. know,
and that's why our first conversation was so surreal when we started talking, because it was like my assignment with God completely matched
yeah.
her anointing
yeah.
and what God was feeding her.
Yeah.
And that's how God works in relationships. Mm-hmm. So, for example, about her starting the podcast, she started the podcast by herself, just from how I visualized it. So you could get all the jitters out before I came on.
Mm-hmm. And I had content that I was posting that you could see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Lord told me to delete my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And he said, you'll be back.
Yeah.
He said, delete it. You'll be back.
Yeah.
I remember I was in Houston, super late at night. He said, delete this. You'll be back.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
Yeah.
He didn't say, you'll be on a podcast. He didn't say, you'll start your own. He said, you'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
And this was right when I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, what'd you discuss to your mom about?
Moving.
Oh, yeah. About like having peace and stuff. Yeah. Right? And that peace didn't happen until we met about moving to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it was really cool how, you know, your mom talks a lot about it too, where she was like, I knew I would always have peace where the Lord's leading you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's just another testimony where...
My mom didn't cry when I dropped her off at the airport after she moved me here.
Yeah.
And for anyone that knows my mom,
yeah,
that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
She's just so incredibly happy for us, and she knows that we are not blindly leading ourselves.
Yeah.
It's insane. But if I would not have spent that alone time with the Lord for 2 years before we met, like, we would not be in this situation.
No, absolutely not.
At all.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's a lot of very small yeses
mm-hmm.
to get to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't miss out on those small yeses. It's yeah. the very small acts of obedience.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, oh, I believe the Lord told me to do something crazy. Like, for instance, like, you know, sell my business and sell my house and live under a bridge. I don't think the Lord's calling you to do that. You mm-hmm. know, like, there are some crazy things that people have DM'd me and they're like, I think the Lord told me to do this. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. You
go
know,
talk to him again.
Yeah. But like small little, like, for example, in the YouTube thing, I wasn't posting on YouTube
mm-hmm.
and I've also been getting a sense for a really long time. I haven't had peace about it because I was posting content that was idolizing materialistic things.
Mm-hmm.
I was basically teaching people how to make money
mm-hmm.
and that wasn't my assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Lord told me to delete it. And he said, you'll be back. And in the same way when he was like, change your content, you know, go in the gym, start preaching.
Mm-hmm.
That small yes led me to her and I being on the same For You page.
Mm-hmm.
And just really, really small yeses lead to the big yes. And to go back on the initial point
mm-hmm.
of the timeline situation, you were waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't waiting on you to be refined or changed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, were you getting refined in that?
Yeah,
yeah,
I still course, am.
And
yeah.
we still are.
Yeah.
You weren't waiting on yourself, though. You were waiting on me.
Yeah.
So the whole preparation thing, mm-hmm. are you always going to be refined? Absolutely. However, I don't want you to put it so much pressure on you where you're like, he's still changing me. He's still changing me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I think also in the biggest way, I think he's just protecting you.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want you to mess it up.
Exactly.
And yeah. that's where we should be praising him.
Yeah.
When you go on a date and that guy sucked or yeah. that woman sucked, you know, I mean, love them.
Yeah.
But if they weren't the
one. Not for you. Yeah.
Not for you. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get yourself in a situation where you're going to be like, why the heck did I do this? Yeah. We're not even compatible,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And then I've said this before, heartbreak doesn't come from God. Heartbreak comes from us lusting after a relationship
yeah.
that shouldn't even
we
be
we give
there.
Ourselves heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it funny when people say God allowed me or God wanted me to go through this heartbreak so I could have her. God didn't want you to go through that heartbreak. No. Really?
Now, would we go through all the heartbreak that we had if we knew we were going to end up here? We've said this a million yeah. times. Yes.
Yeah, we would go through it 100 times.
Yeah, because it was so worth it.
Yeah.
But avoid it.
But yeah, but avoid it. Yeah, it's like yeah. you don't have to put yourself in bad situations for yourself to be refined in that mm-hmm. way. God's going to refine you with or without a person.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a person that's living in the world for them to refine. Like, you don't need that.
Yeah.
What do you want to yeah. talk about next, honey?
I just want to talk about like how to approach the dating. Like, obviously we talked about like how you should be set up and how you should like look at it and everything. But like when you sit down and go on a date, like what are you supposed to be talking about? Right. Yeah. And like mm-hmm. what, like, I don't want to give any advice on how to meet somebody.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
No advice whatsoever on that yeah. because
if you meet someone on the internet, cool. If you meet someone in the grocery store, cool. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Literally everyone's doesn't like, matter. I don't know where to go. Yeah. Like, do I just go to church? Like,
it's like try a bunch of stuff. Try dating apps. Try
what I want to say
groups.
Is be open to it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, I know like dating apps have a bad rep, but like my best friend just met her hopefully soon to be fiance on there, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're dating because they're going to get married one day.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely possible. You can use filters on them now, yeah. right? Like mm-hmm. just be careful. You alone with the Holy Spirit in you, you are going to have that discernment and pray for it
yeah.
before you go on a date. Lord, I met this guy on a dating app. I'm really hesitant. Please give me discernment on whether or not this is going to be a good date. He'll give you an answer, mm-hmm. right? Like you'll be able, that's something, thank the Lord, I was blessed with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times, wasn't as loud, mm-hmm. but having discernment is so important when you're dating. But when you go into dates, like go on dates, please go on dates. Like, mm-hmm. I hate how people are like, well, I don't want to date like a bunch of people like at the same time, or, you know, like you do not owe them anything until you tell them that you're interested in a relationship.
Yeah.
If you are going out and having conversation with them, getting dinner, perfect. 2 days later, a different guy wants to take you on a date or a different girl wants to go on a date with you. Go on a date.
Yeah.
Like you don't owe them anything until you have a conversation where you're like, I really like you. Mm-hmm. And I really see this moving forward. Then stop dating.
Yeah.
Like that's when you cut it off. But like my brother, for example, he's going on dates. Like yeah. he doesn't owe these girls anything. He's just like getting to know them, yeah. you know? And I think it's great. And I think it'll give you a lot of experience on what you want to look for and
exactly.
what you don't like.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was something for me. By the time I went on all of these dates and Asher came along, I knew everything that I didn't want. So when he came along, checked all the boxes that I was looking for. And was none of my list of, I don't want this. Like mm-hmm. he didn't check any of those boxes. Then I was like, this is it. Like I knew instantly. But being intentional with prayer too, like, Lord, I pray for this. I pray for this. If you've listened to our very first episode that we did together, I talked about what I wrote in my prayer journal. I literally wrote out a description of Asher before he messaged me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I knew in my heart, the Lord put those desires in my heart. Like, look for this, look for this, look for this. And I wrote it on a piece of paper and I closed my journal. And literally 2 days later, you messaged me on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not saying that's how fast it's going to happen for everybody else,
yeah.
but that's what happened for me. Right. Mm-hmm. And just being intentional, like with what you're praying for. And when you go on these dates, ask questions and have a conversation. And we talked about this in one of the TikTok videos the other day. You don't have to sit there and say, so what's your favorite color or what's your favorite food or, you know, what do you do in your free time? It's like, how's your relationship with the Lord?
Yeah.
You notice that wasn't a, do you have a relationship with the Lord? That's not a yes or no. How is your relationship with the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're like, well, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. What deeper?
Yeah, if they're a believer, that's all they're gonna want to talk about.
Yeah, if that's why I said, like, how is your relationship with the Lord? Because if it's important to them, they're gonna want to talk about it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like I just need to say this. If you're not open to that person about past stuff, what you're going through, stuff the Lord's teaching you, well, then you're probably not open to God about any of that either.
Yeah. If you can't sit there and say, this is what's happened, like, you opening up about all the stuff that you struggled with before you gave your life to Jesus and how he changed you. And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, I think this is going to help someone too. If you go into this date, right, and you don't know them at all, it's very scary. I remember going on first dates. They were always scary. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know what to expect. If you go into the date, whether it's a guy or a girl, knowing that they are one of your brothers or sisters in Christ,
yeah,
that opens the door.
Yeah.
Because the thing is right off the bat, when you start talking about Jesus and what he's taught you and stuff like that, you're going to know if they're actually a child of God. Because some of these people that are on Christian dating apps, they may not be children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And for everyone that wants to debate me and say everyone's a child of God, no.
Yeah.
You're not.
We're all made in the image of God.
Yeah, we're all made in the image of God. We're not all children of God.
Yeah.
And just because you go to church, you're not a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more that goes into it. So when you're talking to someone face to face and you talk about your testimony, things you're going through, stuff like that, you're going to know very quickly if they're actually a child of God or if they're a Western Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And Western Christian, I mean lukewarm.
Yeah.
You're going to know right off the bat. And that's why I say just be open as possible, because you would be open to your small group about stuff you're going through because you know their brothers. Like,
yeah,
we all have the same spirit living inside of us.
Yeah.
That's so encouraging to know.
Yeah.
There's one spirit that lives in the body of Christ. It's Ephesians 5.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5. And isn't that so encouraging when you go on a date? Oh, this is literally, they have the same spirit living inside of them. They're just a different gender.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be able to accept my story.
Yeah.
That's going to take a lot of pressure off of
you. Yeah. And don't put pressure on the date.
Yeah.
Like, you should feel comfortable opening up about that stuff because you shouldn't be putting pressure on why you're dating them.
Exactly.
Like, don't go into a date and be like, well, if this isn't him, then I don't know who is, or if this isn't the girl, I'm done dating. Like, if you put so much pressure as like, this has to be it, like, just go into it open-minded. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you'll be way more comfortable to talk about those things.
Yeah.
But like, go deep. You know, like, Asher and I, literally, we went deep from the get-go. Like, you called me and you said, tell me your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how much time do you got?
Yeah.
I ran you through it all.
Yeah, I was, and then, like, 5.5 hours.
I did warn you, though, when we started FaceTime. I said, once I start talking, I don't shut up.
Yeah, you said that a lot.
Yeah, I told you that multiple times.
You said, if I'm just...
And I think that was another clue for me, because I was so comfortable talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an introvert. If you meet me in person, like, I'm standing behind Asher, and I'm just,
you,
like,
never,
yeah,
talk. Yeah. Yeah. You never, like, I'm talking to our pastor, and she's just like behind me, like rubbing my back. And I'm like, what do you think, honey? She's like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm not that type of person,
you
know? And I think that's good, because we compliment each other. But
that's exact. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, that was another topic. About, like, our personalities match each other.
Yes, yeah. They complement each other.
Complement, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Asher is the goofball, the fun guy that everyone loves to be around. Just,
honey.
You know, life of the party.
Yeah,
and stop. I'm over here just reserved and, and shy and quiet, but I think it's good.
Yeah. What was cool about our conversation, honey, is, you know, did I know very early on that I was going to marry you? Yeah, sure. But you know what I also knew very early on that was the coolest thing that I've never experienced was, dang, this girl's so dope. I can talk to her about whatever.
Yeah.
That was the, right when we got off the phone, I was like, I can tell her whatever.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
That was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say you may have that with a lot of people and they not be the one, right? But with Michelle and I, it was when we talked about our stories, it was just so refreshing mm-hmm. because let's say we didn't date, honey,
mm-hmm.
right? I believe you and I still would have been best friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had too much things that we've told each other.
Yeah.
And that we received and that we just bounced off of each other. Like, the conversations were too fun.
Yeah.
To the point where we were like, we can't talk anymore.
Yeah.
You know? They were very spirit-filled.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. Yeah. Is these dates you go on, that should be the first clue. Is it spirit-filled or is it not?
Yeah.
If your cup is not filled,
mm-hmm.
see ya.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to run your dating life.
Yeah.
But if your cup's not filled, how is your cup going to be filled with her in 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Most people try their hardest on the first date. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
And not saying you're going to try less, you know, when we're 50, mm-hmm. but... you know, our conversations may not be as extreme
right.
as they are now
yeah.
or even a year ago. And yeah, I mean, is the conversation spirit-filled or is it not? And if it's not spirit-filled, then use your discernment. That's most likely God telling you, hey, great connection. You yeah. learned something.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, I mean, shoot, you... I'll tell you one thing. Don't force that thing.
No.
Or you're going to get heartbroken yep. like you already have 9 other times.
Yep.
I'm talking to someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You force those conversations. That's why you're heartbroken. God yeah. didn't do that to you. You did it to yourself.
Yeah.
Not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
Because I did it to myself. I got heartbroken because I forced these relationships.
Yeah.
Man. And I'll tell you one thing right now. If Michelle ever left me, I wouldn't want to date anyone else. I couldn't. If she died before me, yeah, no, I'm staying single.
We already talked about this. We're going at the same time.
Yeah. However, when I leave, if I leave before you, you're going to have a line of 50 guys wanting to date you.
That's not going to happen, though.
I'm just saying. That's what's going to happen. Guys are going to hit on you left and right.
Okay, I don't want to talk about this. La, 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 la. I'm going before you. La, 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 la.
I'm just saying. You're going to have a line of guys.
I saw a video the other day of Up. The yeah. movie,
mm-hmm.
and it said, the caption said, when you get older, or the older you get, the more you feel this movie and, like, the scene. It's the part of his wife growing old and, like, them finding out they couldn't have kids, and then, like, she grows old and he tries to take her on adventures because they didn't have kids. So right. it was like, let's just go live life together. And... she gets to the hill and she like falls down and he like, and then it goes to her in bed and like him taking care of her. And I was watching that video and I was like, oh my goodness. No, I can't think about any of this stuff happening to yeah. either of us. Yeah. Like, it just makes me so sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that you do see that movie totally different when you get older. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So after you go on dates and like you get along with this person, right? You guys are vibing. Mm-hmm. And you can have a conversation for hours. That's how Asher and I were. And we just felt so comfortable. Then you can start getting into deeper questions and like super personal. So like be open and honest, which if they're a true follower, hopefully they're on the same page with you, as in like they're not dating just to date. They're dating to get married, right? And start those conversations off. You and I... to other people, we talked about it too fast, but we went right into it. It was like, how many kids do you see yourself having? Like, where do you want to live? What do you want to do? Like, it was all just like futuristic stuff.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be one of those things where it's like, I want 2 kids. How many kids do you want? It's like, no, ask open-ended questions and get them to answer it so that they can't alter their answer to your answer. Right. We talked about this
mm-hmm.
many episodes ago about like, basically meeting someone where they're at, but then you're going to hold it against them in the future, right? Because you don't actually agree with that. Exactly. And you're just saying that. And then in the future, it's going to cause issues mm-hmm. because something's going to arise, like the kid thing, right? Mm-hmm. I want 2 and you want 4. I said I wanted 4. So I have 4. And then I complain about having 4. And it's like, okay, well, why didn't I just tell you I only wanted 2? Right. But that's just an example. So like get deep and like into what that person wants in the future. Mm-hmm. Like talking about all of that stuff early on is so important because, or where do you, like what church do you want to go to? Like where do you want to raise your kids? Like all of those things need to happen because if you develop serious feelings for this person and later on you find out that they want to raise their kids in a Catholic church and you're non-denominational and you're like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, my family's doing this, so I want to keep the tradition. It's like, okay, you need to have a serious conversation. Like, is this something that you're willing to change? Or are you like set in stone that this is how you're raising our kids mm-hmm. or your kids in the future, you know? Yeah. And then if they're like, no, I'm set in stone. Okay. Well, some of the things you may be able to like work together, but like for the most part, like the fundamentals, like you should not be adjusting
yeah.
to be with that person. Right. So getting all of that stuff out of the way early so you don't waste either of each other's time.
Yeah.
I went on so many dates and talked right from the get go, like, what, like one guy was going back to school and I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, so sorry. Like, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, I was like, I'm 26 almost. Well, no. That timing's not right. I had just turned 25 and I was like, or I was about to turn 25 at the time. And I was like, I'm like a grown up. Mm-hmm. Like, he was at home and going back to school to play sports. And I was like, I have a job, an apartment, like I'm ready to get married and have kids. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not trying to wait on you, like no offense. And we just didn't get along very well. But you know, like that was right from the get go. I was like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Cut it off immediately. Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm not going to drag it out. Like one guy was like super lukewarm. And I was like, this was early on when I gave my life to Jesus. And I was like, I'm getting refined. Like so many things are changing in my life right now. Like I just don't think we're on the same spiritual level.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he also moved across the country and I was like, hey, there's my answer right there. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just so many things that like you should get out of the way early so that you're not wasting each other's time. Like you can tell someone that you don't like them. Like it's okay. You know, like you don't need to say like, you don't need to bash them. You can just yeah. say like, that's what I did. I said, I'm just not on the spiritual level. The other guy, I said, we're just not at the same point in our life right now. And I just don't see this moving forward. That's all you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't need to be some long answer that they like, you don't owe them that. You can just say yeah. like, I'm just not interested. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry.
And I've had girls tell me we're not on the same level. And I'll tell you one thing, the girls that tell me, honestly, we're just not on the same level, or I'm actually just not interested, I respect them so much more
yeah.
than the women who we've gone on dates, great time, whatever, and they ghost me. It's yeah. like, so, okay, well, you're a child anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, yeah. But honey, you know, what just popped in my head because yeah. this was me. People like to avoid the futuristic questions because they have a scarcity mindset.
Mm.
So you're afraid to ask, what do you want to do in the future? How many kids you want to have? You want to go to this church or this church? How do you want to raise our kids? Mm-hmm. Because you're afraid you're never going to find someone else.
Mm.
But I can guarantee you will.
You're scared that they're going to give you an answer that you don't want. And then,
you're going to be like,
there's no more left.
Exactly.
Mm. That's good.
So, and this was me. Someone would say, yeah, I only want this many kids. I've always wanted as many kids as possible. Always. Before yeah. I gave my life to, I've always wanted, if Michelle's body could take it, we would have 10 plus. We would.
Yeah.
And people call me crazy for that. Fine. That's okay. But when I would talk to people and mm-hmm. they would say, yeah, I only want two. And I'm like, are you set in stone? They're like, yeah. And they asked me, and my truthful answer, I want to have as many as possible. Mm-hmm. However, what I would say is, yeah, I mean, two would be great, maybe three, I don't know. But I say that because it's like, well, I don't think I could find anyone else. Mm-hmm. So you dumb down to mm-hmm. what they're doing. Yeah, I want to raise my kids in a Baptist church because that's what I did. And I think it's just really good for kids. I'm over here like, well, I want to raise my kids in a non-denominational church because they're actually going to know and understand a relationship with Jesus. But I'm like, yeah, maybe a Baptist would be okay. I'm probably not going to find anyone else. I'm talking to someone right now mm-hmm. in their living room mm-hmm. on the flat screen TV. They're listening to this and they're like, dang, this is me. And I'm telling you right now, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an answer in your mind, say that answer.
Yeah.
And once you, because the problem you're facing is the scarcity mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And once you announce, and you and I were just talking about this the other day, once you announce what you're afraid of,
mm-hmm.
the problem shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
When you confess to God, God, I have a scarcity mindset on dating. I don't believe that I'm going to find the right woman.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave it at that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him for help mm-hmm. in that area. That's when it's going to start shrinking.
Yeah.
And you're going to start finding stuff out like, oh, wait, actually, there are a lot more women out there than I thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or you're going to start being honest in these dates.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, no, I want 10 plus kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, 10 plus? I only want 2. Okay, cool. You got your answer.
Yeah.
That's not going to, I can tell you right now, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
If she only wants one kid coming out of her body and you want 10 plus, that's going to cause a lot of issues in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vice versa. Maybe you're a woman and you want 6 and that guy wants 0. Don't be with him.
Mm-hmm.
There are tons of men who want lots of kids.
Yeah.
There are also women who want 0 kids
mm-hmm.
and men who want 0 kids. Mm-hmm. I was going to say something else, but yeah, I mean, if you're in a point right now where you're wanting to get married or you've been dating for a little bit, there's not a specific timeline
yeah.
where you're like, at 6 months, I need to do this. And at a year, I need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need to do that. But what you need to do is you always need to be talking about the future with that person.
Yeah.
Michelle and I are set in stone. We're getting married. We still have conversations about the future on how we're going to tackle certain situations.
Yeah.
The fundamentals are there.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's little things that happen.
Yeah.
Hey, if Macy, one of our daughters' names is going to be Macy if we have a daughter. Hey, if Macy does this in the future and she does this, how are we going to discipline her in that area?
Mm-hmm.
You know, little things like that, mm-hmm. where it's like, that's something where her and I can come to an agreement about.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really a fundamental.
Yeah.
We're still set on the 4 kids.
Yeah.
But if one kid does this, or I'll give you another example. Asher Jr. comes in from outside. He's all muddy. What do? Do we hose him down outside or do we let him walk inside, go in the bathroom and wash himself off?
Yeah.
You know, small examples like that, mm-hmm. where it's like, that's not going to determine whether or not you're going to marry a person.
Right.
But if you're with someone where they're like, I want 4 kids, and the other person's like, I want 0, I don't know if that's really the right place to be.
Yeah.
So always talking about the future and always progressing it, because also what's really cool about this, honey, is we have learned so much about each other
mm-hmm.
while talking about kids we don't even have yet.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's yeah. really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, how we're talking about spending holidays together and what we want to do, if we want to go out for holidays, if we want to stay here,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we want to bake, if we want to take out, you know, if we want to do homemade meals, if we want to, you know, buy stuff at the super, like, there's very little things where if you keep talking futuristic with that person, you're going to learn so much about them and where their head's actually at.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you don't want to get to is you don't want to get to a point where you haven't talked about a specific subject and you expect something on that person and then they don't actually live up to that expectation. And then you get upset with them
mm-hmm.
and you're like, why didn't I just talk about this in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, it's not the person's fault for not meeting your expectations.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
All of it's your fault.
Yeah.
You don't need to point at the person and be like, why isn't this person changing? Why are you with them?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like yeah. you don't, unless you're married, you don't got to be with that girlfriend you've been dating 6 years that's been giving you a headache, that doesn't have a job, lays down all day, is lazy, super depressed. You're not meant to save her.
Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't have Jesus in her heart, chances are she will not be saved.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That pain medication she's taking, that anxiety medication she's taking, that depression medicine, I'm sorry. That won't be helping her. Jesus yeah. will help her. And you yeah. can't force her to have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we covered a lot. I think that'll help someone.
Yeah. What we're trying to say is, like, just spark note, don't date unless you're ready to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And dive so deep on your dates. Like, do not surface level things. Like, you can talk about your hobbies, you know, sometimes that's a better understanding of someone.
Yeah.
But like, talk about your family, talk about like what you want to do in the future or where you're at in your life, what happened to you, like trauma, you know, like
be I want to say open. One more thing. I just want to say one more thing real quick, because I also see a lot of, well, I can't find anyone. I can't go on dates. You can't put that on the world.
Yeah.
You can't put that on, oh, well, it's the world. No, it's your fault.
Yeah.
I don't care if you think that you're not pretty or you think you're the hottest person alive. You can find someone to go on dates with.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to make the effort to do so. Mm-hmm. If you're not making an effort, or I hear this a lot, no guy's asking me on dates. Girl, make the first move.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault.
Well, a lot of times guys don't want to ask you because they're not confident. So it's like, give them, like, literally lay, you know, in Monsters, Inc. when he's laying Cheerios.
Yeah.
She's following it.
Yeah.
Like, literally do that to him. Like, lay the foundation and give him that safety feeling mm-hmm. that he can ask you and that you're going to say yes.
And it's not, hey, take me out to this and this and this. No, it's, you know,
like, I would love to do this with you one day.
That right there. I was just going to say that. I was just going to say something light, like, I would love to do that with you.
Or I would love to grab coffee sometime.
Yes.
You're opening the door and then he might turn around and say, can we go to coffee tomorrow?
Yeah. I can't tell you the amount of times where women in the past, honey, have said that, where it's like, I would love to do that. Okay. How about next week?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. Because I was scared before and they opened the window for me.
Yeah.
And well, actually with you, I didn't. I was like this. Yeah. I just need to go full force with this woman. So that's when I asked you.
Yeah.
Second day, I was like, yeah, honey, you want to, or not honey, but hey, Michelle, you want to come to Houston? Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that was a good one, honey. But we hope you guys just gathered some great information from this. Hey, if you are not single in a relationship, this episode still helped you. I can guarantee you that much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, send this to all of your single friends. I want this to be shared. No one talks about this, and this needs to be talked about more.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle and I like to, we know y'all like to hear it. Michelle and I like to talk about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we love you guys so much. And yes, just another reminder, we're taking off all of April. Next week, John going to be on the podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. He is hilarious.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll say some jokes.
Yeah.
but we love you guys so much. We'll catch y'all next Wednesday on the tripod. Later.